World Soccer Talk Radio is here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. My name is Nate Abarrea. Ross Dyer of ESPN and Fox Sports is going to be joining us in this edition of the program. We're going to talk all about that little match coming up in 2 days' time. You know, the Champions League final, Juve and Barca. Ross is going to be calling the game for ESPN Australia, so can't wait to hear about that assignment and what some of Ross's favorite storylines are going into this thing. I still can't get over the Chiellini-Suarez storyline. This Serbian shoulder roll, pardon me, this Italian shoulder roll, I should say, needs some salt on it. Pass the salt. See, I got my Suarez biting victims confused there. That was a Freudian Suarez bite reference slip there. Please excuse me. He bites so many, I can't even keep track of it. Chiellini and Suarez in the Champions League final. You gotta love it. Ross, he worked for ESPN and Fox. He also worked for ITV and Sky, as well as working in the media relations department at Bournemouth back in the UK. So, Ross, I mean, he's like the Zlatan Ibrahimovic of soccer commentators. He does fantastic work, and it doesn't matter who he's suiting up for. So can't wait to talk to Ross about how he balances his time and what it's like for working for, especially for the relationship between Fox and ESPN, what it's like balancing working for both of those mega, mega entities. And we're going to talk a little bit about Bournemouth, the Cherries, the fairy tale run for Bournemouth that, of course, has seen them gain promotion to the Premier League. And I wonder if anybody's given him a chance to survive in the Premier League. We'll get Ross's take on that and ask him about his time working at Bournemouth. Ross has also been calling some games for the U20 World Cup on Fox Sports. We'll get his take on the USA's chances to potentially win this whole thing. And Ross, also an Evertonian, will ask him his feelings on Roberto Martinez and the Toffees of Goodison. All that and more. Nate Abarrea with Ross Dyer on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus, all of the games from those leagues are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Nate Abarea back here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thank you very much for tuning in to the program. Ross Dyer of ESPN and Fox Sports is our guest in this edition of the show. Ross, how you doing, sir?
I'm very well. Thanks. It's nice to be with you guys.
Absolutely. And so let's take this one assignment at a time. You are a very, very busy man. And coming up in just a couple of days' time, you're commentating the Champions League final for ESPN Australia-New Zealand. Before we get into kind of analyzing the game itself and talking about a few of your favorite storylines, tell us about this assignment for you for ESPN.
Well, yeah, it's actually, I'm not going to be commentating the game, but I will be presenting ESPN's coverage of the game internationally for our audiences in the Pacific Rim, like you mentioned, Australia and New Zealand. So I'll be joined on set by a few legends, a former European Cup winner as well, Stevie Nicol, and Shaka Hislop, of course, many listeners will be familiar with him, and Yanis Mihalic. So it's going to be a great game. Obviously, everyone, the world is waiting to see this gigantic clash between the two great sides and how it's going to go. We had some news out, obviously, today about Giorgio Chiellini, so that's going to affect Juventus's fans' mentality going in. But it should be an incredible game, and we'll be obviously covering the game, and then the game will come in live as well, so we'll have a post-match show afterwards. So there's plenty of time to get stuck into all of those storylines.
Working with a true Liverpool legend in Stevie Nicol, and all three of those gentlemen, great friends of World Soccer Talk. Janusz himself has been on the show a couple of times already, but only been on air for 2 months. So good luck with all that. Great, great crew. Be sure to check that out if you get a chance. Now, let's get into the match itself. The Chiellini storyline, it breaks Juventus hearts. For me, and my viewing of this and just viewing of entertainment, it breaks my heart because we're not going to get the Chiellini-Suarez rematch that everyone was looking forward to so much. Talk about the importance of the loss of Chiellini from a competitive standpoint for Juve.
I think he's going to be a big loss in terms of its mentality as well as what he does. Obviously, we know he's a rock at the back here. You know, a few people say that he can be a little susceptible to making an error or two here and there, but he's been incredible. He's been one of the players who's played at absolutely every single game in the Champions League run for Juventus, which has been a tremendous run. No one can take that away from them. But if you take him out of the lineup for the final, I think the big sort of blow that deals to the morale of the squad will be evident. Now, if they have a very fit, or at least an able Andrea Barzagli back, then the loss is somewhat mitigated. But I still think, ideally, Allegri would love to have both of them fit. Now he starts off with a flat back four often, and that's going to be a Bonucci-Chiellini partnership. Well, it's not going to be Chiellini anymore. So, you know, if Barzagli is fit, then they can still play that four. But I think if he's not, then you start to suspect that, you know, what else comes in, it might be Ogbonna, and that might just not be good enough. I think that they would be under pressure anyway, and I think, you know, if Barzagli doesn't sort of last the whole 90 minutes, or even it might take more than 90 minutes, if he's not fully fit, then they could have a real problem at that position, and Chiellini would be the one player they just wouldn't want to lose.
Ross, the most hope that I've gotten out of anybody. And I'm even talking Italian journalists and Juve fans that we've had on this show. The most that I've gotten out of anybody is, they've got a puncher's chance. I mean, it seems like nobody is giving Juventus even a sniff of a hope to win this thing. And now the Chiellini injury with his calf preventing him from suiting up in this final. Are you still giving them a quote-unquote puncher's chance? Or are you calling a Barcelona rout? What is your feeling predicting this one? Can Juve pull off something miraculous?
No, I'm not calling it a rout. Now, that's not to say that it couldn't turn into one, but it's a two-team final. It's a Champions League final. It's a European final, and let's not forget that Juventus have just as much experience in European finals at the highest level as Barcelona do. It's an incredible team. It's an incredible club, and to have reached the final, to have knocked out Real Madrid in the semifinals as well, using all of that tactical awareness when not many people gave them too much of a hope in that tie, I still think that Juventus can put out a tactical game plan that could frustrate Barcelona. And of course, they've got their own weapons that can punish Barca at the back as well. If they're able to press high, if they're able to get possession turned over and use the pace of Tevez, he's a constant threat to any team, and he's going to be fired up for this final. There's no two ways about that. So I think that Morata playing against Barcelona could also be an issue. And so I don't think that they're going to be overwhelmed. Now, having said that, they're up against the best three players in world football, certainly in attack. And so that will create its own list of problems for the defense to worry about. So the game will be won for Juventus in their midfield. If they're going to do this, they're going to have to kind of suppress Barcelona's feeding of the ball to those front three, or at least if they do get possession of that ball in very dangerous areas, we've seen how incisive Neymar can be, how incisive Messi has been, particularly of late. I think, you know, that with Suarez there, the midfield's going to be under huge pressure to get back in defense and help as much as possible. So that's going to take a lot out of them. It all comes down to how successful they can be pressing the ball in midfield, I think.
Ross, looking at this thing in the now view and kind of looking at it in a historical context, how good are the three musketeers, the three amigos, the three tenors, whatever you want to call them up front, that just unbelievable combination of Suarez, Messi, and Neymar? How brilliant are they, and what could winning this Champions League final mean for the legacy of all three of them?
I think that, I'll take the first part first, the easy part. They're obviously world class, and you can see individually, even if they were not at Barcelona, individually they would all still be world-class and do devastating damage. What the real success of this team has been is integrating Suarez into that front three partnership and the rebirth of Messi's very best form along with it. And Neymar, let's not forget Neymar's incredible ability from the wide areas to cut in and also have the overlapping runs outside him. Jordi Alba's been absolutely tremendous this season. What they've done as a team is integrate the three best attackers in the world into a team that is devastating and that understands what its strengths are, understands what its weaknesses are, and manages to capitalize on both. So I think, yes, you can talk about how wonderful the front three is, and scoring 120 goals tells you that, obviously. Being in the final and the possibility of winning the treble again tells you that. And let's not forget, after two coaches weren't able to do that with Barcelona, Luis Enrique has managed to take them to the verge of what many would call an achievement to reckon alongside Pep Guardiola's team. Now, I'm not quite sure I go that far, because this team is one that's been sort of reactionary to the regeneration of the game across Europe with the success that Bayern Munich enjoyed a couple of years ago. I think that this Barcelona team has learnt to evolve, and that's why they're so devastating. But I think, the legacy part is only going to be told in time. I mean, to get a treble, yes, you can say it's an incredible achievement. To get a treble against this very talented Juventus team is a great achievement. But I think the true test of legacy is obviously in the name itself. It's only going to be over time. And I think that Barcelona with Luis Enrique should feel very pleased with the way that he and the players have reacted to the challenges that were set for them this season. And they've done an absolutely first-class job.
Well, and none of us can forget the fact that Juventus also going for a treble of their own. Obviously, a little less spectacular with them not competing against a Real Madrid prototype the whole season, but still equally, well, shouldn't say debatable, but still quite impressive, and something that needs to be mentioned that Juventus are doing something not only for their own club, but for Italian soccer. We've talked a lot about that on the show. The resurgence, the renaissance of Italian football and of Juventus as a club, and how important this match is to that revitalization process. Ross Dyer is our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Talking about the U20 World Cup on the other side of this break. What are the USA's chances of taking all the marbles? We'll talk about that when we get back. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from seven different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like. Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks for tuning in to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well. My name is Nate Avarea. Ross Dyer of ESPN and Fox Sports is joining us in this edition of the show. Ross, you've been working some of the games for the U20 World Cup for Fox Sports. We got to go directly to the golden stuff for our American audience, and that is, What do you think of the USA's chances in this thing after seeing all the teams play so far, and particularly after seeing the Yanks do what they're doing?
I like their chances. If I'm honest, I was very impressed with the group. Tab Ramos said going into the whole tournament that he didn't really want to be thinking about winning the title. He says, you know, the only way to get to that kind of state of mind is to think of it by, you know, taking each game as it comes. And they've done exactly that. They've got the better of a very excitable Myanmar team in their very first World Cup game. So that was sort of a good hurdle for them to cross, and they had to play a little bit ugly to win that match. And then they came out and absolutely thumped New Zealand. And I like them. I think Rubio is a great player up front. I think he's a great prospect for the team. Hyman gives them a lot of force in midfield as well. And I think that they've got the pieces in that team. Zalalem is sort of playing his part as well, which is a healthy part of it. And they've got the pieces in that team to go on and cause a problem. They were the first team to qualify from the group stages. And I like their chances, yeah.
Ross, tell us more about what you've seen from Zalalem. His last name is such a buzzword right now in the American soccer scene, and this hope for the future. Talk about in kind of the present moment with what you've been doing on the pulse of the U20 World Cup. What's he been like, and what's it looking like for Gideon Zalalem?
Not seen so much of him. The first couple of games that introduced, and I think. I mean, the best way of looking at this whole approach is to not concentrate on, on the next big thing. You know, I think sort of the U.S. media, and when you say that, it's obviously painting everything with a broad stroke, so I appreciate that. But what I mean is, I don't like to see the headlines generated about young players, for whoever they play for, until there's something specific and significant to talk about. Yes, it's a great prospect. It's great that he's playing and training every day at a very top academy and a top youth team and reserve team with Arsenal, and introduced into the first team when it's the right time. But I think that all of that development only is worth talking about when you see the fruits of it. And what we're seeing so far is a lot of promise. But like I said, there's promise from other players on the team, and there's promise in pockets of all levels of the youth system for the United States, which has got to be good news for the fans. So I think, he's obviously got good feet. He's obviously training with good players. He's learning good habits. And the key is he can then use those or integrate well with the team and the squad, the U20 team that he's with at the moment, and hopefully go on to bigger and better things and help them go on to bigger and better things. But it really is a team game, and I think he's probably got the right mentality to contribute in that way. And if he does that, he's got every chance, of course, of making a good career for himself.
Ross Dyer, do you think the American soccer media and the American soccer landscape is maybe more guilty of what you just talked about than other nations and other national team circles? The way our national team for so many years is almost represents what a club team is to so many other people around the world, and the way we get so stoked about these young talents. Do you think we're more guilty of pumping these guys up too much, or is that something that other countries are just as guilty of?
I think other countries are just as guilty. If I take my own country, for example, I think you have the same problem. And I think actually it's not really a problem with the U.S. media, using the U.S. media word. But I think, you've got all forms. You've got obviously got the television companies, you've got the radio stations, you've got the newspapers, you've got the bloggers, you've got the people on Twitter as well. Everyone's out there trying to sort of make noteworthy comments about the sport and give their opinion, and everyone's free to do that, which is great. So you're always going to see that, and obviously in all other sports, you have the same issue in the country where people will come out and make the comments about players or teams, and you'll ride one particular story until it starts to go the other way, and then everyone will ride that story down and start giving a different opinion and contradict themselves. So I think everyone's guilty of it. I think it's just the age we live in. When you get the chance to go into sort of further analysis and things, it's great to talk about players. It's great to talk about their strengths and what it means to the program as a whole. But of course, the United States is excited. Why wouldn't they be? The sport is growing. growing. It's taking off an incredible rate here, and so many people are behind it. So many people want to talk about it, and they want to hear about the next big thing. So I think sometimes the temptation is to give a next big thing, before we're ready to really sort of judge whether that player is everything that we're saying they are. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just nice to be able to give both sides of the story as well.
All right, Ross, we've talked all about the Yanks, and I love the perspective that you're sharing and the chances that a lot of people think they have moving forward in this tournament. We're only a couple matches deep in this thing for most of these teams, but looking around the field, who have been some of the other teams and players that have really caught your eye early on in this U20 World Cup?
Well, I think there was a lot of eyeballs on Brazil coming in, and the fact that they weren't there 2 years earlier, and they opened up against Nigeria, a game that I covered, and I thought that they were very impressive with a team that was, sort of rudderless. Their coach had been sacked for picking a strange team, and it just goes to show that Brazil have talented players wherever they are, at whatever level, and you can put names on the roster that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of and aren't expecting to see, but they can still go in and perform to a very high standard. Certainly under 20 level, I was very impressed with how they got the better of Nigeria. And Nigeria are another team that I think could do big things in the tournament, but obviously, suffering that defeat has been difficult for them. So, I like that. I think Germany, they started off against Fiji and sort of wiped the floor with them, as many expected. But as the European champions, they always have to be considered as well. I was very impressed with how Mexico actually finally got themselves off the mark against Uruguay. It was a game that Janusz Michalek and myself covered the other night. And Mexico, they seem to be struggling, but they scored a wonderful goal in injury time, and that's given them a little bit of momentum as well. These tournaments are always about momentum. You can have the most talented team, but if you don't prepare right, if the squad isn't in the right shape of mind, if you don't have the right discipline around you, it can very easily drag on and sort of fall away. That's why some people often criticize some of the African nations for not having that tournament mentality to last the whole way without sort of capitulating. But I think, we've seen flashes of brilliance from all of the teams. I think there's some definite stronger contenders than others, those that I've mentioned. And in the knockout rounds, anything can happen. And that's why the U.S. has a really good chance, having sort of started very well. They can go on and sort of have the attitude of nothing to lose, really.
Well, Ross, I got to ask you now about taking kind of a, pardon me, a business side look at this thing. For you personally, you work for Fox Sports. You also work for ESPN. How do you balance both of these positions with so much going on for you at both networks? And what I'm really curious about is how this deal gets finalized, where both of these media giants and these competitors, in many cases, have agreed to have you work at both companies essentially simultaneously.
Well, it's obviously a privilege to be working for ESPN and Fox. It's that you don't get bigger than those companies in our field of work, and to see the growth of the sport transpire as it is at the moment, it's obviously a wonderful thing for me to be able to work for both of them. Everyone has been absolutely first class, as you would expect, and really it's a sort of a win-win all around. I'm able to cover a lot of international networks for ESPN. I work primarily with them in ESPN International, and also do a lot of work with ESPN FC, which is our digital hub on the web. And that's been fantastic as well. A lot of work is a great variety to it as well, and that always keeps it interesting. And then Fox Sports have been, absolutely fantastic with a lot of pioneering new coverage of the sport as well. We launched a brand new service and show, a whole new format to covering the sport, which is like the Red Zone, and that's called Multi-Match 90, and that's been an absolute joy to be part of in its first season and going forward. And it's been an incredible sort of transformation of how the Champions League games can be seen and enjoyed by viewers. You hear all the buzzwords in the media, second screen, third screen. Football fans obviously can watch so much soccer in the United States that it is just sometimes it's too much to keep across. Well, Multi-Match 90 gives you the ability to see absolutely everything that's going on. And, you know, I love it because for me, it's almost like the soccer Saturday that I grew up with or grew up in my career with in England with Sky Sports, where we covered a huge amount of games. You're going left, right, and center, going to a goal here, a goal there. If there's a, you know, drama, someone getting sent off in a different game, we'll quickly go to that. We can show two games at once on the screen. You know, we can basically take the audience with us on this journey, which allows people to just focus on the television screens as well as having their Twitter around. Instead of just seeing updates on Twitter, you can actually see the goals and the games as they're happening. So that's been a brilliant thing to be involved with, and long may that continue.
Ross, we'll talk a little bit more about that Fox Multi-Match 90 coverage on the other side of this break. Joked about this already in the show. I mean, ESPN FC, ESPN International, Fox Sports, you work for ITV, you work for Sky, you work for BN, you've done fantastic work for all of these places. You're like the Zlatan Ibrahimovic of soccer commentators. You gotta love it. Ross Dyer is back with us on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Morning, welcome to Burger King.
Can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Croissant sandwich. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Croissant sandwich, silly. I told you already. Get two flaky, light, buttery croissant sandwich sandwiches for just $4.
What's going on?
Knock, knock.
Get two croissant sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
Musicians, it's summer, and whether you're having a backyard party, local club show, or heading out on the road, drop into Guitar Center first and save up to 40% on guitars, keyboards, drums, and other gear on the go. Get a Meinl Birchwood Cajon drum for just $50, an Epiphone Les Paul just $99, or 15-inch powered PA speakers just $149 each. Plus, add a pair of speaker stands for just $59. Get road ready and save up to 40% tomorrow through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Yeah, deer are cute. They star in movies and show up as furry toys. But when they ruin your plants, they are not so cute. Get yourself some Ortho Deer Be Gone. Deer Be Gone uses ingredients that deer find downright disgusting. It won't harm them, but the no-stink formula sends them running without smelling horrible to us. Deer Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them. We just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Deer Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Are you tired of network announcers who are clearly pulling for the other team? Check out Rabble.tv, a new kind of television experience where you are in control of the audio. Rabble.tv allows users like you to broadcast your insights and opinions about sports and entertainment, free from the restraint of network predictability. Rabblers are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. Mute your TV and do your own play-by-play, provide running commentary, or just banter with your buddies. Or you can listen to other fans who love your team as much as you do. It's live, it's new, it's Rabble. Rabble.tv.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back with you here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well. 7 weeks, that's how long it's been since the U.S. men's national team last played a match. but they're back in action this Friday, taking on Holland in a friendly. It'll be shown live on ESPN and here at World Soccer Talk Radio. We'll have you covered with our very own Kartik Krishnayar, who will be doing an audio broadcast of the game alongside Daniel Fierstein. That will be live on Rabble.tv. All you got to do, mute the TV for the game on Friday. Head on over to Rabble.tv to listen to a live audio show with Kartik and Daniel calling the shots, sharing their insight and analysis as Jurgen, as the Klinsmann, takes his team into battle against the Netherlands. Ranked number 6 in the world, the Dutchies. And if you got an iPhone, install the Rabble TV app today and add a comment to the broadcast message board. Listen live via the app on Friday. Mark your calendars. Tomorrow, Friday, June 5th, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time here in the good old U.S. of A. Celebrate the Yanks taking on Holland in Amsterdam. Cheer on the red, white, and blue live on Rabble.tv. Another huge thank you to Rabble.tv for their continued support of World Soccer Talk Radio. My name is Nate Abarea. Ross Dyer of Fox Sports and ESPN is our guest in this edition of the show. You talked a little bit about Fox's multi-match 90 coverage that you've been able to be a part of, Ross, and you brought up a comparison that I loved, and you talked about Soccer Saturday back in England. And for those who aren't as familiar with Soccer Saturday, talk about what Fox's multi-match 90, you think maybe some of the inspiration that was taken from Soccer Saturday, as it obviously tries to develop its own flavor and unique qualities. But talk about the connections between those two shows.
Well, I'm not sure if it's anyone else but me who thinks that. It's just my opinion. I love Soccer Saturday. I worked on Soccer Saturday as a reporter. Soccer Saturday, for those who haven't seen it, it's where it's a studio panel of ex-professionals and the incredible Jeff Stelling, who is a one-in-a-million kind of broadcaster and presenter host. They basically wade through every single football result and score on a Saturday afternoon in England, and you can imagine with four professional leagues and semi-professional leagues with the conference as well below that, there are scoreline updates coming through throughout the entire afternoon, and that is an awful lot of games. I mean, just I would hazard a guess that you're probably talking a minimum of 40 games every weekend to keep across. Now, what the guys do is the 3 p.m. kickoff time in England, local time in England, which we obviously see for the Premier League games here in the United States, is Saturday morning. 3 p.m. local there. That time is protected by the football associations to protect football attendances. You know, they thought if we show live games at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to start hitting the attendances of those games. So those games cannot be or broadcasted by any company, which again is a reason why we should feel very grateful in the United States, because we get to see all of them. And that's just something that English football fans don't even get to see. So this show called Soccer Saturday, a studio show, it's very entertaining, very witty, very irreverent at times with fantastic ex-pros like Charlie Nicholas, Matthew Letissier, Paul Merson. They're just such characters. And they're watching the games on monitors in the studio, but we, the audience, can't see it. So they, if there's a goal, they will go to the game that Paul Merson's watching, and he will try and describe to the audience what's going on. And it's just brilliant. It's like listening to radio, but seeing the guys doing it. And, you know, of course, there are times when they trip over their words, and sometimes they'll make silly references, and Jeff Stelling, the presenter, will jump on them immediately, and their other people on the panel will jump on them. And it's such an entertaining show. Then they'll cross over to, you know, Wrexham, or they'll cross over to Exeter, and someone will give you the goal update if a goal goes in from there. So you have football fans, they'll watch it in the pub, they'll watch it at home, it'll be on in the background as they're milling about the house, you know, and every football fan in the country loves keeping across the football scores on a Saturday afternoon, and it's really sort of born out of that tradition. Now, what Multi-Match 90 does is it takes that in some ways, but it also takes the red zone idea, where you can see absolutely everything. At the flick of a switch, we can go to that game and we can bring you in and update you on what's been going on, so you don't miss anything. Even if a goal goes in, we'll go to that game and bring it to you within seconds of it happening. So it's been a tremendous success so far, and we predict, you know, bigger and better things for it in the coming years as well.
Great stuff for Fox's Multi-Match 90, and a lot of people hoping that it continues with Fox's coverage of the Champions League and the Europa League moving forward into next season and beyond that. And for any of you who haven't seen any Chris Kamara highlights, any Cammy videos on YouTube, check out some of the greatest hits from Gillette Soccer Saturday, hosted by the just... the amazing, I run out of superlative to describe Jeff Stelling, a true idol for yours truly, and check out some of the greatest hits on YouTube of Gillette Soccer Saturday. Just some brilliant stuff. Ross Dyer, our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Do you have any good Jeff Stelling stories to share real quick? Because I want to talk to you about Bournemouth and Everton as well before we let you go. Any good Jeff Stelling stories?
None firsthand. The one that always I talk about with Jeff, though, is he started out doing stuff with Eurosport, and he tells a wonderful tale, actually, in his autobiography, where he mentioned doing the steeplechase in track, you know, athletics, and in the early days of Eurosport, where they were doing sort of feeds from all over the world and just putting them on the air and talking ad lib over them, he said that in this steeplechase race, which is, you know, God knows how many laps around, He had the race sheet with the number of races on it, and he had 12. Unfortunately, there were 13 people running the race, and the guy who was in the lead was the guy who wasn't on the race sheet. So he spent, you know, minutes commentating on this track and field event without knowing who actually ended up winning the race, which I just thought was tremendous. And like you say, when you talk about being a legend of the game, being able to do something like that, so that's a true broadcasting legend.
Again, Ross Dyer, our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. You, way back when, I'm not sure the exact years of this, so feel free to share, but you worked for 2 years in the media relations department at Bournemouth. And what was that time like? And what's it been like now? How, from afar, looking at what's gone on with the club, this fairy tale run of promotion to the Premier League, take a little trip down memory lane, talk about what the time was like at Bournemouth, and also flash back into the immediate future and August of this year as we look forward to the next Premier League season, and talk about the Cherries' chances of survival.
Well, I have to tell you that it was possibly the best job I've ever had. That's with all due respect to all of the incredible companies that I'm very grateful to for giving me work.
ITV, Sky, BN Sports, ESPN, Fox, and the media relations department at Bournemouth takes the cake. I love it.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, there are magical things happening at that football club, and I'm not surprised because it's a magical place full of incredible people. I still am very close with a lot of people there, and you said sort of seeing this success from afar, which it has been across the Atlantic, watching what's going on and trying to keep in touch with the people there. It's been incredible. I nearly got over for the game where they clinched promotion. I couldn't quite swing it. There was other work that I was doing. So, unfortunately, I didn't get there for that monumental game when they beat Bolton to secure their place. But I think Eddie Howe is the first football interview I ever did. I was a student at Bournemouth University in journalism, and I basically got an internship with the football club. Now, they didn't have a press office. This was only 2 years after their first bankruptcy. They were languishing in the third division, very lucky to be in existence still. They were saved by their fans by becoming the very first Europe community-owned football club, and so that's a piece of history that they claim. And ever since, they've kind of gone from issue to issue financially. And the worst was in 2009 when Eddie Howe took over. He was really given the job because I want to say that there was no one else out there willing to take it on. They had suffered a massive points deduction at the bottom of the league, and they were still in points arrears when he took over, or at least not out of danger. And he managed to get them survived without signing any players that weren't already free agents. I think the only player he brought back was a legend of the club, Steve Fletcher, who still is involved and has a stand named after him as well, after he scored the winning goal to keep them in the Football League. Then 6 years later, you know, a net spend, I want to say, of £11 million, they've managed to get to the Premier League, which is just unbelievable. I mean, you can't even compare it to what other teams have done in the Premier League era. You go back to the Wimbledons of the day, the Watfords of the day, which were tremendous success stories. But I would say now it's even harder to do what they've done. They have now a very good owner and a lot of money behind them, but Eddie didn't spend all of that much money to actually get them into the Premier League. They managed to bring in a couple of strikers. They've managed to sort of reinvigorate the team in his second spell there, and they've just been fantastic. But it was wonderful. They told me when I took the job, they said, "We don't have a press office, but Ross, if you want to set one up, you can." So I ran with that, and 2 years later we built a new stadium with a lot of help from the community, a lot of help from the Football Foundation, a lot of help from the fans, and really the true people you can thank for Bournemouth having had this incredible rise through the leagues is Eddie Howe and his team, but also those supporters who, more than I would say any other club, have had to just dig deep to keep the club going. And they're now seeing the massive reward for that. And however it goes this year, obviously I wish them the best of luck, and I really hope to see them sort of take the Premier League in their stride. If it is going to be a rude awakening for them, I just hope that they enjoy the season, because it's not all about the Premier League. What it's all about is the character, the strength, the unity, the resilience that they've shown as a football club, and the way they behave in the community as well. You never hear anything bad about the players, touch wood. Maybe the Premier League will do its own number on them, but I'm just so excited for what they've already achieved. So this is just a bonus, and it's going to be a glorious year however it goes, I think.
Ross Dyer, we've got under 3 minutes left, and I still want to ask you a quick question about your beloved Everton. But you talk about you attended university down in Bournemouth, and for folks unfamiliar with, I always brag on the North, and I spent most of my time in England in the far north of the country. How would you sum up South Coast football?
You know, the chants that get labelled towards all the South Coast teams is you're a bunch of basically part-timers because you only work in the summer because of the tourist industry. That's the claim, you know, made from the terraces at times. You know, you only work in the summer. But I think South Coast football is great. I started my broadcasting career after leaving Bournemouth. You know, this is 2001, I think. I left and joined ITV, which was, at the time, there was an ITV, you know, brought television football to England, effectively. They were the pioneers of televised football in the Football League. And they had a satellite office in Southampton, and I went and joined them as a junior reporter. So that's why I have a connection with the South Coast. But the Southampton, you want to say Portsmouth, obviously they're going through their own issues now. Plymouth as well, where one of my great colleagues right now, Paul Marino, is a legend back at that team. You know, they've always sort of traded punches with the bigger towns, the bigger cities. They've always been sort of, you know, the lesser of the team. Southampton has always been sort of up there as the most successful in recent times, although of course Portsmouth have won trophies in years gone by as well. And I think, there is this kind of view from the north that, you know, it's gritty up north and, you know, football has its real heartlands up there, and in the south they have other pursuits. You know, Southampton is the home of ocean sailing. So, you know, you kind of have this view of, well, how can you really be into your football if you have the boat show every year? But, you know, they've obviously done brilliantly well in recent times, and even as far back as in the 1970s and early 80s with their incredible successes in the FA Cup and stuff. And, you know, one of the greatest players ever to play in the English leagues, Matthew Letizia, was their loyal servant for many years when I was growing up. So, you know, there are great teams, there are great stories wherever you look in our country, in the Football League. The Football League is still my favourite league in the world. It's where I made my sort of entrance with Sky Sports, and I still have an incredible affinity to Bournemouth. But yeah, I think the only time I want to see Bournemouth perhaps not do as well is if they play Everton. But that's only...
Well, hey, Ross, 10 seconds are left. Do you want to see Roberto Martinez stay the manager at Everton, yes or no?
He deserves another year, but he's got a lot to prove, and I think the team has a lot to prove as well. We want to see some growth. It's not just about the talking the talk. You've got to actually be able to back.
You got to walk the walk. Ross Dyer, it has been fantastic talking with you here on World Soccer Talk Radio and walking the walk right here on Sports Byline. Thanks again, sir. We're back after this on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It's World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. Taking the real quick express train home. Another huge thank you to Ross Dyer of ESPN and Fox Sports for joining us in this edition of the show. Talked about so many great topics with Ross, from the Champions League final to the U20 World Cup to all sorts of really intricate TV stories that took trips back to Soccer Saturday and talked about the great Jeff Stelling and that wild cast of characters there. Talked about Fox's multi-match 90 coverage and what that means to soccer in the States. But above all, really enjoyed our trip down to the South Coast. Talking, of course, about Bournemouth, but also about South Coast football as a whole. You only work in the summer. You gotta love it. And may the South Coast be revitalized through Bournemouth and through what Southampton is doing as well. And may Portsmouth and Brighton and other clubs struggling in the South Coast see a revival sometime soon. I sure hope so. Shout out to a man I met in San Francisco yesterday, a Scotsman named Mark, who told me a great story of Sterling Albion scoring 20 goals in a match back in 1982. Sure enjoyed that. Enjoyed my time in San Francisco. I enjoyed my time with you today. My name is Nate Abarea. For the producer, Scott Cuddy, and the gaffer, Christopher Harris, I say cheers. Come on, you Yanks. Beat the Dutchies tomorrow. Cheers. Bye for now.